Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I am someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm doing. So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in sports and politics today.
Whoa.
It's Tuesday. It's sports day starting today.
Game day.
Yeah. Match point.
Yeah, we all just start saying phrases, you know. Touchdown.
I know. I was trying to think of that this morning with the Carl Nassib news, which we'll talk about. And the only thing I came, the only analogy was that he's a defensive lineman, which is DL and is now not on the DL. But that didn't seem like a joke I should make.
Oh, well, I appreciated that a lot. I think that's funny.
Excellent. So today we're going to talk about some sports. But first, I wanted to talk about our own personal journeys with athletics, because it's come up a few times in this podcast. I remember most recently, Elise talked about how she preferred to show bracelets than participate in sports. Mm-hmm. Brian, I heard you on Elise's podcast talking about you were a big soccer star. So I'm just curious. I bet we have a range here. Brian, what's the role of sports for you? You still play soccer, right?
Yeah, I still play soccer. I'm getting up there though. I'm getting close to maybe retirement age. I don't know. No. I mean, the thing about me though with soccer, I had like a pretty good experience, just because also like when you're good at something, people, you know, are like nicer to you about it. But also a lot of the guys I played with, I had been playing with since I was like 6 or 7. You know what I mean? So like I had known them my whole life. So, yeah. So like I never really had a bad sports experience in terms of like, you know, being gay. I think everyone probably knew that I was, but like no one gave me shit about it, you know? So that was nice, I guess.
I earned a varsity letter for participating in the one-act play competition, because technically that's an athletic event because of theater sports. And I never went and collected my letter. And I'm really pissed that I didn't do that, because I thought I was too cool to collect the letter, when now, in fact, that it would be really so cool. Funny for me to have it.
It would. I feel like it would be in the background of this very recording.
There's a lot of stuff from my high school that I don't have, because at the time I was like, the cougar spirit, the Oakton. And now I'm like, oh God, I wish I had this stupid stuff.
I know.
Like, I never got a varsity jacket, and I was like, I would never wear it. It was also like pretty atrocious looking. It was like our school colors were like maroon and gold. So like the sleeves were like a yellow mustard. It was like ketchup and mustard. TBH.
Mm-hmm. We were burgundy and gold. So very similar.
I feel like now if I had it, it'd be like a funny, fun thing to like whip out every now and then. Like, I don't know.
It would.
Right.
Yeah. Mike only wears like the only sweatshirt hoodie he wears is his like high school track one. And we have another friend who like has looked for it on eBay. He just thinks it's so cool. Like, it's just like from the year like 2001, random Colorado school. I never excelled in any sports. I actually recently talked to my mom about this, and like they made me do everything. They would put me in like tennis and rollerblading and soccer and all of that. And I always assumed it was just because they like wanted me to try lots of things and see what I liked. But my mom recently told me that they tried to kick me out of tennis lessons because I was so bad. But they were like, ma'am, like this isn't for her. She has no hand-eye coordination. And my mom just snapped at them and goes, do you not think that's why I brought her here? Like the reason she actually
brought
me to all these sports.
You're supposed to teach her the hand-eye it's your job to fix her.
I thought she was bringing me to all these sports because she saw potential in me. And they were like, surely one of these. I mean, she could be good at any of them, so why deprive her of any of them? But really, it was because they just wanted to keep me from falling down all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I already told my story, but my parents stopped trying to put me in sports pretty quickly. But I dedicated myself to the theater so early.
Yes.
That, you know.
It paid off. And here we are.
Now it's paid off.
Yes.
Right, exactly. I just, the sport I stuck with was horseback riding, and it just embedded in me like a very deep sense of fear and anxiety because my mom would just like rescue horses that were not rideable and be like, this is your horse, which she also recently apologized for. So should I start a podcast just me and my mom's phone calls?
Yeah. Amanda, I didn't realize that you were a horse girl.
I was a horse girl, but I was like not good enough at it to be a proper horse girl. I wasn't into it enough. I just like, because I had scary horses.
I say the mark of a horse girl is just the love of the horse.
Yes, right, yeah, right.
And also, like, you know, those
had the energy,
like,
right?
Yeah, those. You remember those things that you would put over your textbooks so they wouldn't get ruined?
And yes.
Like, what are those like weird things? Like,
stretchy.
Yeah. Stretchy things, like, and you could always notice the horse girls because they would tend to have horses.
Yes. I guess I was horse girl. I was horse girl. So let's get into the headline that brought us to this topic. So Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib came out in a statement posted to his Instagram account last night. This makes him the first active player in the NFL to publicly identify as gay. So huge. Let's listen to him make this announcement on Instagram last night.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that like one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds. That's all I have for you guys. I hope you have a great day.
Okay.
God bless. And God bless just, it.
Yeah, I'm just stopping by real quick to say that I'm gay.
I thought that was so funny.
I do love the intro. Hey guys, just quick note that I am gay.
Yeah. I feel like that is a meme. Just like, hey guys. Just thought I should let you know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is huge. I mean, it's hard to believe that this didn't exist yet. I think there are a number of players, maybe I'm overstating that, but I think at least more than one who came out after they left the league and said that they were gay the whole time, since that's how it works. what impact do you think Carl's coming out has, Brian?
I think it has a great impact. I mean, here's the thing. I bring this up all the time, but I think we often forget how recently marriage equality happened. That was like, what, 2016, I guess, 2017. I always have to Google 2016. So that's like not too long ago. But also, you know, depending on where you grow up, you know, the environment around football, like in sports in general, is not very homosexual friendly. Like I, you know, my experience is probably one of the few positive ones. Like you're in the minority. Like it's male toxic masculinity, you know, is rampant in sports, especially football. And I don't know, I think it does help. Like he says, he's donating money to the Trevor Project, which, you know, it helps for suicide prevention because, you know, gay kids are much more likely to attempt suicide and have suicidal ideation. So I, you know, it is important. I think it's really nice.
I agree with everything Brian said. And I also just feel like there's actually something kind of nice to like the bro-y energy of his announcement, because like, I don't know, he literally sounds like a NFL football player coming out. Like, there's something about it that I think really speaks to like anyone can be gay. Like it doesn't affect your masculinity to be gay, or like you can't, you know, judge a book by its cover or whatever. You can still be sports bro and be gay. Mm-hmm. So I think that like, as kind of funny it like struck me when I first heard the announcement, I think it's also really important that it like honestly has like a fratty tone to it.
Well, I always say the most masculine thing you can do is to sleep with other men, you know?
Like, absolutely.
Like,
for sure.
Like, what else? What, like, it's pretty feminine to sleep with women. I'm saying it's pretty gay.
Yeah.
To sleep with women.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding, obviously. Yeah, no, it's cool. I wonder how pissed off Colton Underwood is right now.
I know.
The attention.
Really stole his gay football player thunder. And also, yeah. He, as far as I know, this man is not accused of stalking and never put a tracking device on a woman's car. So
Not accused of stalking. There has been some chatter this morning. And I wouldn't normally bring this up because it's literally chatter. But I will bring it up because of what happened when I tried to confirm it.
I'm so, you guys, let me just say that Amanda's about to like drop some tea and I'm excited.
I'm just genuinely curious about this. So I saw some chatter this morning on Twitter, which I never just like take something on Twitter and like take it in and am like, good, that's how it is. That's why our society is like toxic as hell. So I saw some chatter that he was a registered Republican and like a big old Trumper. And I was like, well, yeah, how do you know that? So I tried to look into it. I don't know how these people confirmed he's a registered Republican because I was not able to do that with the Nevada Board of Elections. I saw some screenshots that I can't verify, but what I did see was some pictures of him to his own Instagram. You know, just with hanging out with a lot of people dressed in flag paraphernalia. I don't personally know any progressives that do that outside
of
July
4th. One of them was wearing a Trump shirt, right?
One of them was wearing a straight up Trump shirt and that person was tagged. And you guys know, like, I hate to like investigate this way. It's so, but like, I went to look into it. It's the person he tagged, you looked at him, and this person was like an avid Trump supporter going to rallies outside of Trump International. So I was like, this is weird. I want to look at Nassib's profile and see if there's more like this, there's more to this. And I could not find his account from SUP. And I was like, that's weird. I know he has Instagram. And then I looked from my account and I was able to find him. And I looked from Morty's account and I was able to find him. And I was like, surely there's another explanation. Then I asked Brian, I was like, there's no other explanation for why I can't find him from SUP other than Carl Nassib, the gay football player, blocked Betch's SUP at some point in time.
He blocked us.
Blocked us. Yeah.
Blocked by Nassib. Blocked by Nassib.
The gay football player blocked us. I am so curious why. I don't know if it was because, I mean, the thing is, I had no interest in investigating his personal politics until I saw that he blocked the Betch's SUP.
You know, my thing is, you know, I like part of me like wants to give him the benefit of the doubt because, you know, like everyone, you don't know, like you're not like educated yet. Sometimes you don't get educated. He's 28 years old, you know, like, I mean, that's old enough to know, but like, I don't know the way he grew up where, I don't know the circumstances of where he grew up, what his family is like, you know, cause I just often think of like, you know, the environment that I grew up in and some of the things that I thought were my values before I got learned, you know? So
more like, I don't know. I've been at a family reunion where one of my cousins was wearing a t-shirt that had a picture of Donald Trump opening up his own t-shirt to reveal that he's Superman. And, you know,
my theory is that he hired a publicist before this. And which I don't mean in a, I hope that doesn't sound like cynical. Like, I think that's
a good thing to do.
And
of course,
whenever you're going to make a huge, huge decision like this, you want to make sure you're like set up for success. And they're like, if there's anybody that might scrub and try to like call you out as a Trump supporter, you should eliminate them or like we did something in the past that genuinely offended him for any reason. There's also that possibility. Like that happens. We got blocked by a lot of people during high tension times. Like maybe there was something a good, I can't remember. I feel like had SUP done something incredibly homophobic, I hope that Brian would let me know. I think that somebody would let me know. Like, I don't think this is, Elise always tells me whenever I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, did we get, Elise is like, nobody gets quietly canceled. Like you find out.
You'll find out. Know. If we fuck up really bad,
If we fuck up minimally bad, people let us know. So I guess we've done something so bad that frat gay football player was like, absolutely not. We would have known. Or he just, you know, he wasn't ready for people to pry into that part, which I definitely respect. But I did. It did make me sad this morning. It always kind of feels personal, even though nobody has any idea that I do this. And I and I really work to keep it that way very hard.
It is funny to me. Because I actually block, I would say, maybe hundreds of people. Anyone who acts any type of way is blocked by me. But I do find it funny to block an account that is strictly performative and not interactive. Like, I block people based on interactions I'm like,
I was not cyberbullying Carl Nassib.
Right, exactly. I'm just, there's no way that Sup has addressed Carl Nassib in any way prior to that.
I've not heard this name before.
But honestly, maybe he's a Republican. Who knows? Whatever. He can be a gay Republican, and maybe he didn't like the content on the Sup because he's a Republican, and he's like, fuck it, I'm blocking them because I don't want them to get... I'm going to come out as gay one day and they're going to want to look at my page and they won't be able to.
Or some people genuinely will see things like, or just Trumpy people will just be like, see things they find so upsetting that they decide that I should not have the privilege of looking at their page.
Yeah.
Like, but usually those people are not very famous.
Yeah. They're not like actually players, people you want to look at their page and you're like, oh damn, I actually used to do this.
Right. I mean, it sucks because I had to tell our like amazing new graphic designer, her name's Nicole. She's amazing. She was making me a quote card and I was going to tag him. And I was like, I think you should stop. And she was like, good, because none of the pictures looked right. So maybe it was a sign.
A gay man with no good pictures.
I know.
That's the most suspicious. That's the most suspicious.
But you know, I'm sure Colton's seeing that and he's like, phew, this guy's not a perfect gay either.
Yeah.
I just hope it wasn't one of those situations where someone was like, I have this information on you.
Yeah.
It's coming out because it happens all the time. Then they just like, they have to change. Didn't that happen with Colton too?
That is what happened with Colton, which is horrible. Like that sucks.
I hope that's not what happened, but.
I know, right.
I feel like because it is coming during Pride, it feels maybe like he was compelled to do it because it's Pride.
The donation.
And with the donation, I hope that's not the case either. Yeah. That fucking sucks.
Yeah. We were talking about how recently marriage equality was. And to me, like, it's still so slow. And we even talked yesterday we talk all the time, I feel like every other day, about attacks on trans kids and LGBTQ Americans. But I do feel like the norms and just like the acceptance has changed so fast. Like, I feel like not fast for gay people, obviously, but like, when I saw this, I would try to think of the last time you heard that like locker room thing, like, oh, but I don't want to be naked in the locker room. But I feel like we've finally grown out of that, but I don't know. I might be naive. What do you think, Brian? Do you feel like that's still an angle of sports?
I think gay men's number one fear is straight men, which I think is probably the same for every person on this planet.
Everyone is afraid of them.
But you know, there is this whole thing in your head most times when you first meet a straight person, is that straight male, is that like, are they gonna like me? Like, are they gonna be offended by my presence? Like, those, you know what I mean? Like, and so when you do end up interacting with straight men who are not like, are like, just like, you know, treat you like a human being, I guess. It's very like, oh my God, that's so nice. So they probably get like a little bit the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably still prevalent. I think people are anxious and nervous, but I do think, you know, people like him coming out, you know, when Elliot Page came out as trans and all these people, I think representation really does matter. I mean, that's why like, even like me, personally, I'm trying to always be a little more open about my relationship, even though I would never have been before. But now that I'm like, okay, well, it's kind of nice that I'm like getting married to a man, and I'm sure young gay kids would appreciate that. So I think it is important, but I think there's still that nervousness for sure.
Right. That's so interesting that like, even though non-gay people, like I said, like to me, I don't perceive it, but even if it's a small percentage, like you're still doing that scan. Like, this could be one of those people that still thinks that way. And you have to, you never know who that's going
to
be.
If Antonio goes to hold my hand and we're walking in the street, I'll look around me after he, like, just to make sure, you know, like stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So anything and everything that can help move that forward is nice.
Yeah, totally. So another few sports headlines, because we're here this weekend. This weekend, Allyson Felix qualified for her fifth Olympics, but this will be her first as a mother just 3 years after a life-threatening pregnancy. She had severe preeclampsia and delivered her daughter at just 32 weeks. Her daughter was less than 4 pounds, spent a lot of time in the NICU, and Allyson Felix also had to fight for her life. And now going back to them, she's the most decorated, like, world track athlete ever. She's crossed Usain Bolt, like, in terms of world championships and Olympics. She has a couple people to beat in terms of being, like, the most decorated U.S. track athlete and any track athlete of all time. But she's, like, on her way this Olympics, which, yeah, I mean, we're talking about representation, but to just, like, be at the top of your game and, like, about to break a world record when you just had a baby is just, it's huge, because I feel like all I see, especially as I've had friends have babies, is like, oh my God, it's so hard. Either your life is over. Like, it's so hard. It's, your body is ruined. You'll never be the same. But, like, you can, maybe you'll never be the same, but that doesn't mean you can't, like, excel in a different way and surpass even where you were at. So this just felt very important and cool to me.
Yeah, I think it's really awesome. And, like, there is just so much that's put on a pregnant woman and then a postpartum woman's body. And there are so many, like, rules that you have to sort through, some of which are bullshit and some of them are actual real vital rules that are important. And, like, it's just, it's cool to see someone perform as an athlete after pregnancy and kind of smash through some of maybe the more bullshit rules about how much a pregnant woman can do or how much a postpartum woman can do.
Right, right. And, like, I think she's 35. So, yeah, just, like, when in a woman's career, you know, we have all of these amazing mothers that are at the top of their game, and it feels like that's also new. And I haven't looked into this too much, but I do know that Allyson Felix had a contract with Nike that they basically completely, like, obliterated after she got pregnant and had her baby. They, like, cut a huge portion of it, and she ended up getting out of it. But basically, like, we're like, well, you can't function to the same level that you could before. But now she has a great partnership with Athleta, and so does Simone Biles. And so I've been getting my, it's working on me. I'm like, great, I'll go to Athleta. Joe Biden likes their masks. It's affordable.
Athleta, they're doing
bad space.
I was just reading also that Simone Biles and Athleta are, like, putting on their own gymnastics tour to compete with the usual tour, because the usual tour is, like, really horrible to the athletes, and it's actually a place where a lot of, like, the abuse took place. And so Simone Biles is just like, fuck it, I'm doing my own tour. So cool.
USA Gymnastics, and USA Gymnastics is the one that usually does those post tours. But, like,
that's amazing, and they're still suing them.
The president is like the former president of the is probably going to jail. Like, he had, like, hid shit about the whole Larry Nassar stuff. It was a whole fucked up. USA Gymnastics was like, is like a whole shit show. That Simone Biles. Well, you know, she's winning despite all those motherfuckers. So good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also just amazing to see her thrive, because I feel like there was a lot of concern among athletes about the Olympics getting pushed back a year. But it seems like everybody's, like, nailing it. Like, over the weekend, I'm sure we all saw that 20-year-old Sha'Carri Richardson became the fastest woman in America after dominating the 100-meter race. Just so fucking fast. I don't know how they don't lift off.
I know. Well, she also, like even, like, stopped and, like, pointed. She didn't even, like, run full. Like, she was like, oh, look at that. Basically, right? Like,
I'm fucking doing that. The finish line.
Yeah. And she's also, I don't know how she identifies, but she says she is in a relationship with a woman. So great, great Pride Month for LGBTQ plus athletes.
Yeah. She's also just, like, she has her nails, she has her lashes, she has her wig. Like, she's representing in so many ways. And she said, like, yesterday, like, I'm not sure about her family relationship, but she said her biological mother passed away last week. Last week.
Oh no, that's awful.
I know.
And that's terrible, whatever their relationship was. But yeah, it is really cool to see her, like, number one, like not playing respectability politics with her looks. I mean, she looks amazing. She's beautiful, but it's different than what you see at the Olympics with like the orange hair and like her actually being kind of like glam at the race. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cool. It's like, yeah, I'm going to be the baddest bitch. I'm going to be the fastest bitch. I'm going to have a full beat on the track.
Yeah.
Well, she said that. She was like, I want everyone to know that I'm that girl. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's like, yeah, when you're that fast and you only have to wear the lashes for like 13 seconds, then like, go for it. Yeah. Go for it.
It is a lot of preparation for a
little. That's a lot of preparation
for a little race, but you know, do whatever you
want. But once you win, you got to do all those interviews after. That's, you know, true. What I mean? She knew that she was going to win. She's like, I'm getting dressed for my interviews that I'm going to have to do because I'm so fucking fast.
She's that girl. I mean, I don't know. I'm getting excited for the Olympics. I think I said yesterday that like individual sports, I think, are my thing. Like I they can animate, and women's soccer, because we're all fluid when the women are playing soccer.
Yeah. Oh man, that is so fun. That is so. It is so true. As I don't even know. I think universally, not just as a soccer fan. Oh, right. No. Well, Megan Rapinoe. I mean, you know, I could see her in a bar.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people who thinks zero about the Olympics and then they start happening and I suddenly am an expert in every single thing. And I know all the people, like,
yeah,
it's definitely a sure way to make me cry. Like when I see people accomplish their goals,
yes, that
like
I know,
like that's what makes me cry. And I just like, I'm like, I know I'm going to get a good cry.
That's why it's more compelling, because I'm like, this person did this by themselves. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. I love watching the World Cup win. It's like amazing watching basketball championships win. But like when it's like, damn, like they did that all by themselves. They jumped from like the divers. It gets me every time. There'll be a lot of memeing and a lot of crying.
People's fit. Like my favorite is just always like the person's face when they realize they nailed the thing, or like they realize they like there's that really famous.
So Simone Biles' resting face.
Yeah. Simone Biles' resting face is she's just walking about her day, crushing it in every aspect. But there's that like really famous shot of Tonya Harding after she lands the triple axel, and she's so like, she's crying and she's so overjoyed. I mean, obviously Tonya had, you know, Tonya goes on to do some things, and we have compassion for why that happened now that we've seen the movie. But that's like the encapsulation of my favorite type of Olympics moment is like, I know, and that didn't even happen at the Olympics, I don't think. But anyway, person lands the thing. Simone Biles flipping and landing, like,
yeah,
the person swimming and coming up. Like, I love it.
I love it. I love it. Amazing.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
So our final sports story for today comes out of the Supreme Court. And this ties into, importantly, what we were talking about, how Simone Biles can have that cool like world championship tour. This relates to whether college athletes should be able to benefit from their fame, you know, outside of official channels as well. So the NCAA makes about $1 billion a year on TV deals, ticket sales, apparel, huge sponsorships. I mean, I don't know if they made that last year with everything that was going on, but they generally make a ton of money. All of the schools in the NCAA benefit from college athletes strictly being considered amateurs. they can't get material compensation for their efforts. They basically can only be paid in like their tuition and what it costs them to go to school. I mean, this is basically obnoxious. It means that there's no competition. Athletes can't really be lured one way or another. They can't necessarily exchange better compensation or better rewards for their talents. That has been the case forever. But yesterday's decision opened the door to student athletes receiving more in exchange for their labor than the cost of their education. Right now, not much more. The justices said that schools can offer additional education-related perks like scholarships for graduate schools, internships, laptops, other equipment that is useful when you're in college. Nobody wants amateur athletes to be paid more than Brett Kavanaugh.
Brett it's Kavanaugh, so funny to me that so college funny. Sports is Brett Kavanaugh's like, and yeah. I don't even, we'll talk about it. I don't even disagree with Brett Kavanaugh actually on this point, but it's just very funny to me that like, of course the beer guy is
my
like
womb as, yeah. as like the same liberties and rights as a basketball player. But Brett Kavanaugh loves basketball. It came up in his confirmation hearing and he brings it up often in oral arguments. I didn't know that, but I was listening to the Strict Scrutiny podcast earlier today. And they said he just like constantly brings it up. So he wrote his own opinion, concurring opinion. He was like, I want to talk about this all on my own. He agreed with everybody. He was like, I want to write my own paper.
This is what happens when we put someone named Brett on the court. This is what happens is that he brings up basketball constantly.
Right. This is the case. Like y'all dealt with some wild stuff. And this is the case where you're like, I have something to say.
Yeah. Brett Kavanaugh's like, wait a minute. Wait, I know something about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. These guys have to get up after a Saturday night of boofing and you're not going to pay them. So he wrote in his own concurring opinion, I'll quote, nowhere else in America can businesses get away with agreeing not to pay their workers a fair market rate on the theory that their product is defined by not paying their workers a fair market rate. So this relates to basically the NCAA and the colleges have just been like amateur. They're amateurs. That's the rule. So finally, it's like, why is that the rule? So even bigger changes are coming next week when 6 states will enact laws allowing college athletes to profit from their names, images, and likenesses. So this is huge. This is the stuff like signing endorsement deals, hosting a training camp, doing a tour, literally selling autographs, whatever they want. And those states are, I know enough about college sports to know that these are, most of these are big ones, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, mm-hmm. New Mexico, and Texas. The NCAA itself is also under pressure to revisit its policy here. They were actually on deadline to do that earlier this year, but they moved their own deadline indefinitely. But there are a lot of reasons this is super important. I mean, one, it's great for gender equality in sports because one great thing about women athletes is that they're great at social media and tend to amass big followings. As we just talked about, I am looking forward to nothing else than memeing the Olympics because people get really excited and it's fun. And those people can create huge followings and then influence and sell ads and create partnerships based on those followings. College athletes can't do that right now. I mean, think of all those, like, I feel like every 6 months an incredible gymnast from a college goes viral and like they can't make any money right now. College athletes also, I mean, the idea is that you'll play for 4 years and then, or however long, and then you can go to the pros. Like that's what we reward you with, but you could get hurt at any time. All football especially is famously dangerous sport. Like you could have a career ending injury at any time, or you could decide to go to the pros and then get hurt there, but you never finished college. Like that's just not a good rationale. And finally, I mean, normal college students who get scholarships can also make money. They can become influencers and do whatever they want. Like it's just athletes that cannot. So it seems super unjust and I'm glad it's changing.
It seems crazy to me that Olivia Jade was able to make money off of being on a fake rowing team as an influencer, but all these real athletes this entire time have not been able to do that.
It's the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Brian. I was also just thinking like this idea that like, oh, your compensation is that you'll like, we'll train you and you go to the pros. Like for a lot of women's sports, the pros aren't really well paid.
Right. They're like, that's such a good point. That's your carrot for me is like a tiny weight room.
Exactly. Like a lot of these women probably could make more in their time as college athletes influencing and during their, like the college years for a lot of women, like that's their actually main highest earning, highest potential time just because the pros aren't like there for them in the same way.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it seems like it's a no-brainer that athletes on their own time should be able to use their own likeness. They shouldn't be essentially be owned by their sports teams. That seems insane.
It does seem insane. It seems like unconstitutional. I can't explain how, but yeah. It just seems like some sort of like involuntary.
Well, Brett's on it.
Indentured, yeah.
Right. Brett's on it. Brett, it's actually Brett. Brett is actually going to handle describing how it's unconstitutional. Yeah. It's actually in his hands, and I'm not worried about it.
Let's just make sure he knows that, like, it's not just men's basketball. Like, let's let him think it's literally just men's basketball.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to talk to him about literally everything else once he's done working on this.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, expert analysis from ESPN estimates that individual student athletes could earn anywhere from $1,000 to $1 million off of name and likeness rights. I mean, that's quite a range, of course. I don't even know why I put that in there. That's quite a range. But think about it. If you're in college and you are an athlete and you got a scholarship, like, and maybe you didn't get a full scholarship, like, you're still depending on it. Like, $1,000 for a sponsored post here and there is huge for you for getting through college.
Mm-hmm. You're also, right. You're not, when you're training for your sport, you can't have a job. You can't have like an
outlet.
Oh my
God, that is your job. That is your job. Yeah.
On top of school. So if they can take a fucking photo of themselves holding like a sugary drink and get like $1,500 so they can eat what they want that month or buy something, you know, like, they should be able to do that. It's, I don't know. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Agree. That is our show. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.